I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Cheryl Slover-Lynette. She's founder of the nonprofit organization Lead Feather, and we are joined by telephone by Travis Teller, who is a Diné medicine man and teacher of Diné culture and language to school children. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Cheryl, let's talk for a moment about Lead Feather. This is a nonprofit organization that does a number of things, including taking people on journeys into the wilderness. What's going on? How did you find yourself doing this work?
That's a great question. It started when I lived back in Chicago before we moved to Santa Fe, and I had this very strong desire to be out in nature more. And the more I talked to other people who were in my situation, it was a lot of moms with younger kids, I just saw that that was happening amongst most of my friends. And so I started to look into it a little bit. And around that time, a good friend of mine who I've known since I was in my early 20s and who's a Dutch businessman and coach, he started to put together these wilderness journeys with Native American friends that he had who are of the Ojibwe tribe up in Michigan. And he invited me a couple times. And, you know, I just thought, like, you know, why is this for me? What would I get from going out in the wilderness? But at some point, my desire to be in nature was so great, I thought, well, let's go. It's on Isle Royale. It's a gorgeous national park that most people don't ever get to see in the middle of Lake Superior. And I thought, I have nothing to lose. I did not know how much I had to gain, though, by having this week in the woods with Native American guides who were kind of showing me and other business leaders essentially how to get more connected to the earth and why our disconnection from nature has really impacted how we're able to live as people, how we're able to work as business people or in whatever field we're in. And I was just so struck by everything that I experienced and learned there that I thought, all right, I really want to bring this outside of where my friend Rolf's vision was, which was really to be working with the business community and changing the world through that avenue. I thought, I want to work with kids, and I want to share this with women, because that's who I was seeing also had this this need. And around the same time, there was just a lot of talk about women stepping into leadership roles and this being the era of women's leadership. That seemed to all fit to me. So that was kind of the genesis of it.
I find it fascinating that the other fellow who you were talking about, the Dutch businessman, thought, let's change the world through bringing corporate leaders into mm-hmm. the woods with Native American folks. How's that going?
Yeah, he's been doing it now for almost 10 years, I believe, and he's done it in Michigan. He has journeys in Utah, and he continues to work with people from a lot of European business heads, like the head of Microsoft for the UK, the head of McDonald's in for Europe. So there's definitely a lot of interest there. I think it's what I don't know is, you know, what's happening when they get back. I know they all, the ones that I went on the journey with, all said, you know, oh, it's totally changing the way I'm managing people, the way I'm approaching kind of the whole picture of things, maybe looking at things more holistically, that it's not just about the bottom line. And so I think this is probably baby steps towards change, but I like what he's doing because he's really starting with the top leadership. And if, you know, if anybody can make a change, hopefully it will be them.
So what actually happens on these journeys?
Well, it's, you know, from the outside, it looks like we're camping in the woods and we're doing a lot of hiking and we're talking. But it really goes so much deeper than that. And I know Travis can share some of his experiences as well, since he and I have been working together since 2010. But it is, it's a lot about sharing Native views on our existence. You know, I would say the dominant white view is we're all individuals, especially in America. We're a very individualistic society. Most Native cultures that I work with view that we are all one, and not just you and me and Travis, but the rocks, the wind, the trees, we're all one. So if I don't take care of the environment, I'm not taking care of myself. Conversely, if I heal myself in some way, I heal the world. And that's one thing that one of our my Native American friends who's Ojibwe You know, he says that every time. Cheryl, you heal yourself, you heal the world. This is, you know, that's really what they believe in. So having a different worldview is so important to then how you experience those 5 days in nature, for example.
Travis, how did you get involved in this work?
Yeah, I got to meet Cheryl through the business that she has, and then we started to talk and started to have an understanding of, you know, her thoughts, and then from a traditional perspective, from a cultural perspective of Diné culture, we begin to understand a lot about how to become a part of nature to look at it from a traditional cultural perspective is everything that has a spirit, which is a plant, a tree, mountains, water, and to connect to nature, maybe even through prayer, through song, singing, and just being a part of nature, realizing and understand. We came together and talked about these things and had a really good understanding about it. So that's how I got to meet Cheryl, and I really appreciate that. And just sharing a lot of stories about certain things that are out in nature, sharing a lot of things and stories about how nature was created, and just all the creation stories of the Diné people. And Cheryl got to have a really good understanding of that, so that's how we got to meet.
Now you, Travis, are a Diné medicine man. What does the term medicine mean in Diné culture?
Well, a medicine man is someone that is connected to nature and that has understanding of the different medicines that are out there in nature, which is through understanding of prayer and using songs to collect a lot of these plants that are medicine for Diné people. And also, they use that medicine as a cleansing for herbal treatment. They use a lot of that and through their ceremonies. So that's why they're called medicine men.
What is your own training like as a medicine man? I think it's a pretty long process and kind of a life commitment. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a long commitment. Once you begin to realize, once you're born, you're kind of born into it, so you get certain things that are given to you as your child, and you're given that. It's kind of like initiation, and then as you grow and develop, you're being taught from day one, just like from preschool, kindergarten, to eighth grade, high school, college, your first, you know, bachelor's degree, master's degree, doctor's degree. We have that same process in our Diné culture. We begin to learn and we begin to understand. And as we're beginning to understand the process of becoming a medicine man, there's many steps that you take. And it's just the same as being promoted from eighth grade and then going through high school, graduating from high school to getting your degree in college. So by the time you're at a master level, you would be conducting a lot of ceremonies. You would be providing herbal treatment to Native Americans, and you would be telling a lot of the stories and sharing a lot of the history. You would understand everything by the time you have your master's degree.
Do you combine your work at all with Western medicine, or is it completely separate?
A lot of it today is combined. Well, it's side and side. There's the Western therapy, and then there's the traditional Diné cultural therapy too. Also, it works coincide right beside one another. That's how they have it today within the Indian Health Services. Mental health, they have it that way today. So it's really good. It's really unique.
So you mean, like, if somebody goes to the clinic with a stomach ache or depression, they might see a doctor or a nurse and see you at the same time?
Yes, they have that option to go to the doctor and to be diagnosed with whatever, Western therapy, maybe a stomach ache, or maybe you would be diagnosed with maybe cancer or all these different things, and you would come through traditional counseling and then also through traditional Dene medicine, and they would be able to help you and provide services for you too, and also herbal treatment and ceremonies. So it's really unique. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about sharing Dene culture, sharing Native culture with non-Native people? I know it's, for some people, it's controversial.
Well, for me, I think it's all about education. Educating, you know, the world and existing as human beings amongst one another, and to understand, you know, the culture and to understand us as people. I think, you know, that's good. That way people would have a better understanding of who we are, where we came from, and then where we're going as humans, and where we're going as five-fingered beings in this world, to help one another and to educate one another. I think it's really good.
Now, you also teach Dene culture and language to young people. What does this look like? Are they starting at a very early age? Do they not get that culture and language in their own households?
Yeah, like right now, a lot of the society today is more Western. Everything is Western today, so it's really hard that the younger people are not getting that traditional education, because it's more of getting up in the morning, eating breakfast. It's just more of a Western lifestyle. The television is there, the PlayStation is there, the Xbox is there. It's more of, and then they have to go to school at 8 o'clock. And all day they're just learning nothing but, you know, Western education. So it's really hard. But now on the Navajo Reservation, on the Dene Reservation, we are now coming with laws that the Dene language has to be in the school system. The Dene culture should be, you know, educated to the younger people. No child left behind. So that way, everyone gets, you know, that education of the Dene language and culture. So it's working out pretty good so far.
Now, Cheryl, you actually were born on the Navajo Reservation and spent the first couple of years of your life there, and then left and had your dad, I think, was a doctor, is that right?
That's right. He was one of the first non-Native doctors to live on the reservation. Up until that time, I believe they had been based in Flagstaff, and he was a radiologist, so maybe once every 2 weeks the radiologist would be flown in from Flagstaff and go to Fort Defiance Hospital and read the x-rays that had been taken and diagnosed. And so in the early to mid-60s they changed that, and so he got to live there for 2 years, and my mom happened to be pregnant with me at the time. So I was born there, lived in Fort Defiance for a while, which is on the reservation, and then in Gallup, New Mexico, which is just slightly off the reservation.
You probably don't remember that part of your life, or do you? I mean, do you feel like that's connected to the work you're doing now?
I think it totally is connected, but do I have specific memories? I don't. I had an interesting experience, though, that really was what drove me to move my family here to Santa Fe. Once I had started in 2008, I started creating these journeys. We were doing mostly family journeys in northern Michigan, and, you know, just having really wonderful experiences with Dwayne Kennard and Van Archiquette up in the UP there. And so I was really looking for opportunities to get into nature, and went with my family out to the Grand Canyon. And when I was there, I said, you know what, I'd really love to drive from the Grand Canyon to Santa Fe and leave from Santa Fe and explore the Dene Reservation. I hadn't been back since I was 13. My parents did take us back when I was a teenager. And so I went on this pilgrimage, essentially, back to my birthplace, not knowing anyone, not even sure if I would be able to find the hospital. But I did find the hospital. It had been decommissioned, so it's just kind of sitting there, not being used. They have a totally modern hospital. And I drove up and I just burst into tears. And I was crying, you know, not for any reason that I could sense at the time, but it was just such a powerful experience for me to be back where I was born and be on this land where I had lived for 2 years and then moved away. You know, and I have had other Native American friends say, like, gosh, you know, you lived 2 years and you breathed the air and you ran around in the dirt. I mean, that's pretty substantial. And so don't discount it. And so I took it seriously. And then, you know, this totally embarrassing moment where I went to the modern hospital and went up to X-ray and I started to say, like, my father used to work in X-ray, and I burst into tears again. I couldn't even, like, get out the words.
So
the
funny.
X-ray techs were like, can we help you, you know?
do you need hospitalization
exactly
right now?
What's going on? And so I just sat there and wept and, you know, just let it move through me, not really knowing what it was. But then by the time I got to Santa Fe, you know, it was kind of a done deal. I called my husband. I was like, we have to move here.
And so you ended up here and you're doing, I mean, you have a regular day job, and but you also do these trips. We're talking about the nonprofit organization Lead Feather. Where do you actually take people on these journeys?
Yeah, so one that we've done pretty much every year is to Travis's land. So we go to Canyon de Chelly on the Dene Reservation. And this year that'll be in October. And we hike in the canyon. We, you know, kind of learn about the Dene traditions. We have ceremonial talking circles. And it's a very kind of deep experience in terms of getting in touch with one's personal personal experiences and also, like, what we're here, what our life work is supposed to be. I find it so powerful an experience to be with Native Americans who are kind of sharing their view of the earth and of their life purpose to then reflect on my life. I mean, that's kind of how it worked for me, where, you know, I just started to have this new worldview of what does it mean if we're all one? You know, what should I be doing with my life in that case?
Right.
You know, so these small questions that then can destabilize one for a little while, but are so, you know, important to have every so often.
Now, part of the mission of the organization is also to raise money for the work that Travis is doing,
mm-hmm.
which is education of Dene children.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And definitely with Travis, he and I have been talking quite a bit about what types of programs he would like to establish for kids. And then Lead Feather also supports a nonprofit called For All, which is run by our Ojibwa friends, Dwayne Kennard, Pat Hardwick and Bruce Hardwick up in the Upper Peninsula, and they've been doing a lot of work with Ojibwa children who, you know, it's kind of the same thing that Travis said. They realized, you know, when they saw the family journeys that Lead Feather was putting together, like, our kids don't even get to do this. They don't get out into the woods. They don't really get to hear a lot of the stories in that kind of sacred way and in that sacred space. So, I just feel that children, even though it sounds trite, I mean, they are our future. We do need to invest in them. And if we want them to have a connection to nature that's going to really benefit them as well as benefit the care of the earth, we need to be, you know, starting young.
Travis Teller, I was wondering, I mean, you speak Navajo, you speak Dene language, and I was wondering if you could maybe speak, or even I know that you sing in your language, whether you could let us hear what your songs sound like.
Okay. I'll go ahead and do that. This is the Dene language. It's a very spiritual language. It was given to us many, many, many thousands and millions of years ago. And it was given to us for a purpose and for a reason. And it's to connect to nature. And I'll go ahead and use some here. I'll introduce myself in Navajo. Yant eishik eishit the nasha at Kahasinko. Shay yan Travis Tellian shia. He yan unin snow tohit lini bashashin. Put on the bashashi double gun at the shinella. Yant eishik eishit the na. Be ye quoto pespe hennip. You do what is net though this shit that no ye a kutaya quacky ye. The neck of the make it to yet hit open up and can yet a ton jump to the it magic it do tinto yet it to the lane magic your cast no action no fake at neck at you to at neck at you all in you was only yet a geek it okay jump geek it okay at a yeko I went ahead and introduced myself, and I went ahead and just said a little bit about what I do. And then here is some of the traditional Navajo songs that we use. And there's so many songs that our old folks had instilled within us to carry on for many generations to come. They say that it's a good, wonderful thing for us to have that song within ourselves. It gives us that sense of motivation. It gives us a sense of determination. And also that it helps us with, you know, having that balance within our mind. It gives us a really good feeling within our heart and our mind. Just even singing the song or listening to the song, it can, maybe you might be experiencing something, some type of illness, or you might be, you know, in some sort of depression. But once you hear these songs, it will bring you back in balance with nature. So these songs are utilized like that. Hey, 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 hey. I'll just go ahead and share that much for now.
Thank you. And that was Travis Teller, who is a Diné medicine man and teacher of Diné culture and language. And Cheryl Slover Lynette is here. She's the founder of the group called Lead Feather, which takes people with Travis and others on journeys here in New Mexico and other places. If people want more information, they can go to the website leadfeather, LEADfeather.org. Anything else you want to let people know about before we go?
Yeah, thanks. I've mentioned two of the journeys that we're doing this year, but we're doing a third in addition, and it's in September. It's actually here in the Santa Fe National Forest, so it's a little bit closer to listeners in Santa Fe. And it is a four-day supported solo, essentially, where you do 24-hour solo time. We kind of prep everybody and get everyone set with gear, and then it is a really deep connection to the earth. So there's kind of different types of journeys that we have. And, you know, if somebody wanted to go to Canyon de Chelly and experience the Diné land, that's definitely one experience. And then kind of this deep connection to the earth to help really get connected to what you're here to do on in this world, in this lifetime. And that's a soul renewal journey.
Cheryl Slover Lynette and Travis Teller, thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you very much for having me.